Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts, Rob Fanoff and Mark Zielinski, as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Mark Zielinski.
And I'm Rob Fanoff. And we're back again after a brief hiatus. And did I just hear Mark Zielinski's voice?
Yes, you did, Rob. It's so nice to have a regular episode back here on the airwaves. It's been a roller coaster ride since my son's high school graduation.
I thought a little birdie said that you stopped playing Kings of War.
Well, you know what? Actually, we did go into a little bit of a hiatus for playing because of all the graduation parties and all that kind of stuff. It's just been nuts. So, but Colin has been working diligently this week, and we've got the game table back. I actually had a pipe burst in my basement, so my game room was actually full of boxes and everything from the storage closet, which is where the pipe burst, and still isn't fixed, but at least I got everything dispersed, ready to go for when I'm ready to go fix that thing. Yeah, I finally got my game room cleaned back up. The game table has been reclaimed from the boxes of dolls and whatever else my wife had stored. And so we're ready to go. Colin's been diligently working on lists during the week. I think he's downstairs cleaning up again right now, so, which is just awesome. So yeah, we're getting back in the swing of things. And maybe even doing a little Vanguard action. So, but we're back. So it's good. It's nice. So how
was Origins?
Origins was awesome. Unfortunately, as you heard in our Origins special, there was a little mix up with the events getting posted to Origins, so they weren't very well attended this year. But that was a little disappointing. But the show was great. Had a great time. Then went down to Dice Tower Con. And hung out at Disney for a while in Orlando, and that was a lot of fun. But no Kings of War there, so which was sad. I was going to try to bring it, but more board gamers than miniature tabletop gamers down there. So, and then it's just been running for parties. Had Colin's party, unfortunately, at the weekend of Lady of the Lake. So sounds like everybody had a great time up there. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, I have my pipe burst. And then my mother-in-law decided to get, she lives with us, and she decided to go ahead and have, fluid around her heart. So we had her rush to the hospital, and she's in rehab right now. So it's been a crazy time for me. So I'm looking forward to it settling down a little bit.
Yeah, we do want to give a shout-out to our buddy Andrew Summers, who pulled out, I believe he pulled it out at Origins.
Absolutely. Yeah, Andrew Summers pulled it out at Origins. Nice showing. So
yeah, maybe the only time the Brotherhood Army will ever win.
Well, you know what? There was a really good showing at Origins for the Kings of War tournament. So
there's some good players there in the Midwest.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you want a full breakdown of that, go back and listen to our Origins episode. You'll get the full breakdown. Mike Carter and I do the full analysis of the tournament. So, but very, very nice. What have you been up to, Robbo?
Oh, man. We're going to get to it. In fact, let's just jump in. This episode is going to be long. We have a lot to talk about. We haven't been doing our traditional stuff for the last month, 5 weeks. We've got a lot to say. So let's start with hobby, and I'll start. Obviously, I just had an amazing vacation. I went on a road trip with my daughter Aubrey up to Michigan to my mom's house. And my mom is 70 years old. She doesn't travel all that much. And I bet you she traveled with us in the state of Michigan more in that one 10-day trip that we were there, or that 10-day period that we were there, than she had in the last 2 years. We went everywhere. We went to Frankenmuth. We went to see my uncle Junior, who's lives up on a farm in the northern part of Michigan. Obviously, the highlight for the trip, though, was going to Mackinac Island. I hadn't been back there in maybe 20 years, 15 years. And Fort Mackinac, if you haven't been there, it's just this amazing fort, right? It's just amazing. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's on a big giant bluff, and the cannons and the towers, and it's just terrific. And really, got me thinking, man, I need to make a table using somehow putting a fort like this in there. And I, you know, awesome. And hey, I was on vacation, but I'm still all about Kings of War. So huge thanks to Josh Weider and Evolution Games. They actually hosted a release party for Edge of the Abyss for that during that weekend in which all the stuff came out. So it was awesome to meet all the new players up there in Lansing, Michigan. I got my hands on a bunch of the new swag. I got some of the characters. I got some of the, my favorite thing. I mean, I also got the book, but my favorite thing is the new magical artifact and spell cards. What an awesome idea. I mean, it's a little tiny pack of cards. It has all the items. And I mean, I like tokens. I mean, those are cool. But this little pack is really good for just, you know, putting it in a pocket of a bag, and you've got them all. Whereas the tokens, you know, if you have 50 tokens for all this stuff, it can be a lot. And the new models are fantastic. Have you checked those out yet?
I have not. Mine are actually on their way here. I ordered all five of them from Todd and Cindy over there at Wartime Hobby. Shout out to you guys. My go-to source for all things Kings of War, because my local hobby shop does not carry it. So I do everything over there at Wartime Hobby. So yes, I've got all five characters coming. They're actually in the mail right now. So I have them coming. Which ones did you pick up?
So I purchased the new Succubus. I don't know exactly her name. I can't remember. And then the Placoderm Defender. Big shout out to Mantic Games. But they had sent, and actually I heard this alluded to on one of the most recent Mantic radios. They had actually sent Evolution Games like some swag to give out at our little event. So we got, you know, a few characters. We got a set of cards, and we were able to give that away to the players. So that was really awesome. So I have the Placoderm Defender, and I have the Abyssal Temptress are the two that I have. I really wanted to get the Salamander, but unfortunately it was sold out by the time some of the other local players wanted it. And to be fair, I can get it, right? I mean, like you said, Wartime Hobbies is just a phone call or an email away.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd and Cindy will hook you up with whatever you need. So
that's the first bit of hobby for me, you know, is that I had an amazing time. It was a lot of fun. The next thing is, turns out that I'm old. I don't know if I told you that, Mark.
Yeah, but I'm older, so you're right. Good.
It turns out that I now need reading glasses. Now, ironically, I was like, I don't need reading glasses. Well, I have them now, and I'm now adjusted. I don't know why it took me so long to just get them, because it has made my life so much better. I mean, we'll get to my 10mm project in a minute, but I mean, honestly, everything from just simple podcasting, reading a computer screen, and I think I'm using like 1.25, so it's not even like a significant magnification, but it's awesome. It's changed my sight,
which is a great thing. I've had reading glasses for a while and I actually need a new pair. So, and it also helps with modeling too, Rob.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, you've got some hobby updates. Why don't you go through what you got?
Oh, all right. Well, you know what? Basically, as I mentioned before, I've got stuff on the way from Wartime Hobbies, from Todd and Cindy there. So big shout out to them. I've got all five of the Resin Summer campaign characters coming. So I've also gotten some more Trident Realms. Yes, I finally got my Trident Realms starter army that I was supposed to get at Adepticon, finally shipped by Mantic. And it arrived at the house. It's like, all right, I'm going to get the rest of it. So I've got some of the Worm Riders coming and a River Guard champion. And I think with that, with everything I have here, I should be good. Oh, and I got a Thul Mythicon too. So I am actually hoping to play these guys in Vanguard as well. So there's a secret little mission of mine there. And then, of course, I picked up the brand new starter set. It's like, Mark, why would you do that? You already have all those models. Yes, I already have all those models. That'll be my third Druid model. But you know what? I wanted the book on the inside, and I wanted to see how they packaged it. And I want to support this because I love starter boxes. I love intro packages for new players, and I want to see what it is, and I want to support it. So that's why I went ahead and dropped the bucks down on the table. And, you know, hey, I'll be bulking up my forces at the same time, so that's pretty good. But if you're dying for one of those metal druids, hit me up. I think I've got, like I said, three of them laying around here. So, but that Battle of the Glades starter set looks awesome. So really, really looking forward to that. And then, as I mentioned before, Trident Realms, my hobby ADHD is just really in full rev. So I'm going to really try to work on those. I'm going to try, I mentioned that Forces of Nature were going to be my multi-base army. I think I'm going to speed paint this one. And Trident Realm. So I might actually use this for, you know, the upcoming Kings of War army in a weekend, but we'll have to see how that goes. So, but you know me, I'm just hopping from here to here to here. And I need a new source for MDF bases. So I'm going to take a look at Ironheart Artisans or
Tectonic Craft is pretty good. The ones I had actually, our good friend Will from the 10 millimeter episode from a year ago actually sent me some ones from Litco, and they're plywood, 3 millimeters thick, and they're the Warmaster size. Really nice bases, because the plywood, unlike MDF, they, when I drilled a hole out for the magnets and stuff, they were really, really top-notch bases, and I really like them.
All right, because I've got my list that I sent off to get created, and they never came back, so now I got to order them from somewhere, so I got to get those MDFs ordered. I got to get to do it quick, too, so I'll probably be making some of mine, so that's why I'm in a little flux there for, you know, Kings of War Army in a weekend, so.
Hey, a top tip, though, and we're going to get to the fact that I've been painting a lot of 10mm lately. Hot glue gun, hook them up to a popsicle stick, paint them up. And when you pop them off, the metal just pops right off the glue, and then you can glue them right on the base. It's been a very effective way to do it.
Oh, that's awesome. I tried using white glue on the popsicle stick. Does not work. They pop off too easy. Right.
So, hobby-wise, I have... let me just say, I have a lot going on. The Undersea Abyssal Army is in full mode. I have all the bases done. Ironically, I've went back and used the bases that I originally created for the Abyssal Army back in 2015. But of course, I can't just use them the way they are. So I spiced them up by, you know, putting like coral and whatnot on them to make them look like it's like an ocean bottom. All the models that I originally planned to put in the army are all assembled and ready for paint. There's a few more things I might add. I don't have a lot of succubi put together yet, so I'm probably going to put a couple units of those together. And there may be a couple other things, some specialty units that I don't have modeled up yet. And my plan is I'm not going to paint anything until I have the whole army ready to go, because I want to paint it all in one go, airbrush it and that kind of thing. And I also would like to get a chance to even if it's just non-painted models that they're based. So I'd like to get them on the table and actually play with them. And really, I don't want to paint a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to use. What I did do is I pinned all the models, but it's not glued, so you can just pop them off. Now, what I still have to do is actually go in and take some pictures and somehow document which model goes which where on each base. So I've still got to do that. And I should say the biggest thing I've got to do is come up with a paint scheme. So I need to start doing some test models because I want a sea theme. So obviously I want like teals and sea colors, right? But what I was thinking is I don't want to use any gray. Historically, looking at a lot of my armies in the past, I've either done gray bases or a lot of muted colors. So I want this army to pop, and I want the base to pop as well. So I'm going to probably go over the Reaper Miniatures website and look at their paint selection and see if there's some different colors. Even better would be a triad. Pick up some new paints to just try it out and find something that pops. So that's coming along. I'm not rushing it. It's out there. Why am I not rushing it? Well, because I am all in to Teeny Kings of War. That's what we dubbed it, Mark. Teeny Kings of War.
Love Teeny Kings of War. So, and we actually have to do an episode on that. But the big thing is, you know, standardization so that everybody can kind of get into the same mode. And my big question to you, and this is the only question I'm going to have on this, but how are you guys mounting the mounted units?
Yeah, so we've gotten this question an awful lot on Twitter. And Billy in my club, Billy the hobby genius that he is, he actually wrote up a post on, if you just search for the Omnipotent Orkling, it's a website run by our buddy Charlie Ryan in Kentucky, and he's got two posts on how we base it. But to summarize, for I'm using Warmaster, right? That's mainly what I'm using. And so if you look at and I'm doing 10mm Varanger, so I'm using the Chaos Army. They have two basic mounted units available in the Chaos Army. They've got Knights, and they've got Marauders. Well, the Knights, the way they're sculpted is they actually like touch like front of the horse or the back of the horse. So I can't separate them. So in that scenario, I'm actually mounting them like a normal, the way you would normally mount them in Warmaster. And I'm simply not running them as troops. I'm simply running them as regiments. That makes sense?
makes absolute sense. And so that's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Because well, that's how I'm doing it. But now, let me say, though, with the Marauders, I'm actually able to clip the strip. And so in that scenario, I am turning the base sideways for 40 millimeters front, and I'm putting four guys on there. So where possible, I am trying to make troops. Because, I mean, for example, like the Tundra Wolves, which I'm using the dogs from the Chaos Army, they don't come as a regiment. So I didn't have a choice. I've got to make them as a troop. I'm a little bit of both. Does that answer your question? Where I can, I try to make troops, but like for the knights, I'm just running them as regiments. And let me say, that works because we're playing big games of Kings of War. You don't want to run a bunch of troops, right?
Right, right. You want to have those regiments and the hordes and stuff like that. I love the basing scheme, like I said. And I don't know why I have this nagging thing in the back of my head that I'm going to play War Master someday, because I haven't played War Master, and I can't tell you how long. So,
well, and to be fair, as long as you don't have any units in your army list that only come as troops, there's no reason why you can't just base all your cavalry models in that way and run them as regiments. So for me, this 10 millimeter Varanger army started with a lucky find by Billy when he was on vacation with his wife down in San Antonio. He found a Chaos Army starting box for I think it might have been retail price, which was crazy. So we bought that. That got me going. That's all painted. I bought two or three lots on eBay. That's all painted. And I got to give a huge thanks to Nils Hedglund from the Sacramento area. I had put a call out and say, look, if you got any Chaos stuff, let me know. He sold me a huge lot of War Master at a very generous price, and I think I'm done. Now, I don't know if you saw this, Mark, but the Cranky Lawyer is on the bandwagon now. Did you see that?
I did, and I think Cranky told you were done, too.
Well, I compared to what he purchased, I didn't purchase very much. And all his stuff was new in box. So I guess what I learned today is lawyers make a lot of money.
Even though he claims he doesn't, buys an awful lot of minis that he never uses.
Thanks to Niels, I've pretty much got everything I need. Now, right now I've got about 2,500 points already painted. I probably have another 5,000 waiting to go. Now, there is a couple things I still need to find. I need to find the units in the Varanger force list that are not available in the Chaos War Master range. So things like Direfang and Fallen, for the Chimera, I think I'll just use the dragon. But so there's a few things that I need that I'm still looking for. So if you have any ideas of what would really work well, and also size wise would fit in well with the GW War Master scale, you know, let me know. The one problem I am having though, Mark, I am not painting these things fast enough. I'm actually treating these things like 28 millimeter models, and literally took me, I spent 9 or 10 hours painting up my Stanza Marauders. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to work. So I'm going to have to, it looks awesome, but you can't see it unless you got a magnifying glass.
That's exactly right. That's the thing about War Master. So I've got a Kislev army that I tried to do in three colors, but then I suffered the same exact effect you had. But, you know, I basically primed in gray, hit all the weapons with silver, hit the faces and hands with a little bit of flesh, a little bit of brown here or there for a drum or something like that, and a little splash of color, and then washed it. And that's what I tried to do. You know, paint all the manes and the tails on the horses are all black. You know, try to keep it real simple. But, you know, when you get to that commander, you lavish a little love on them. So, but that's what I tried. And they don't look bad. And that's the thing about, you know, those 10 millimeter guys. When you're looking at them up close, you can see everything. But when they're in the table, all you see is this blob of color. You could probably just spray them one color and hit the tip silver and be done. You know, from the aerial view you're looking at, you know.
For the paint job, I'm trying to keep it simple, but it's not working out. But basically, I'm base coating it like with a bronzy color, dry brushing it with some gold, washing it. And then, you know, what's taking me the most time is like, it's basically gold and purple. The purple, I'm using a couple different shades to highlight it up. The flesh has got three, I'm using a flesh triad from Reaper. And, you know, of course, I can't just have all the same color hair. So I've got to have some red hair, some black hair, some gray hair, some white hair, some, Yeah. It's and you know, obviously I also got some silver for weapons. So, I mean, it ends up with like 12, 15 different colors of paint on these models. It looks awesome. But, man, I'm going to. That was great for the first 2,500 points. But if I want to get this other 5,500, you know, 5,000 points done, I'm going to have to get up on it. That being said, a couple more things about the 10 millimeter army. I bought a pretty good size order of 10 millimeter resin buildings because, you know, I'm all about the terrain. It's from a company called Battle Scale. I love this stuff. It is, first of all, it just has the look. It looks like, it just looks like medieval Europe, right? Like something you would see on a battlefield. And I actually purchased it because they're actually located in the UK. I actually purchased it from their North American stockist called The Wargaming Company. They're up in Minnesota. And big shout out to them. I mean, I ordered it and like had it in like 2 days. So it was awesome. And when I got the stuff, probably the nicest, most cleanest resin models I've ever purchased. Now, I realize they're big blocky buildings, right? But I mean, there's no flash, nothing to remove. Literally, I just put them in a sink, soaked them in some hot water with some soap, scrubbed them with a toothbrush, rinsed them off, done. And that also reminds me, I bought a lot of stuff on eBay. It's reminded me that some of you may not have heard my tip, but if you're trying to remove paint from old models, it's a product called LA's Totally Awesome. It's like $3 a bottle. It's available at Dollar General. It sounds stupid, but the stuff works. You put it in there, let it soak, and it's not nasty like some of the other things you could use, like some of the paint removers or brake fluid, but it works. So I've been doing that quite a bit. Finally, one more thing on the 10 millimeter army, because I'm all about, Mark, do you know that I'm all about the bling?
All about the bling. I can't believe you're highlighting 10 millimeter models, but okay.
We even bought movement trays.
You bought movement trays? They're
yes.
Already going to be on Warmaster trays. But
yeah, no, they're freaking awesome. So we actually had our buddy Robert over at Shogun Miniatures make us itty bitty trays.
Oh, and, that is awesome. Is yeah. He going to be, I'm going to have to pick those
Yeah,
up
so now. I've got some pictures. I'll put them in the show notes. But so we've got regiment size and we've got horde size. And I mean, what can I say, dude? I'm all about the bling.
That is really handy because that's one of the things that could slow you down in a 10 mil game is if you've got the two bases, the two troop bases formed up as a regiment or six in the horde and you're moving them together. Oh yeah. The base all about that. That would be great. Cause usually how I'd solve that is I put cardboard underneath it and then just white glue them on there. But oh, Shogun Miniatures.
Did you say all about the base?
All about that base. That's right. I bet you even drilled little magnets into them so it was magnetized to the steel, didn't you?
Yeah, I just took an eighth inch standard magnet that I would use in like a regular 28 millimeter base, and just put one just in the middle, so it's not crazy sticky, right? It's not, but it's enough to hold it to the tray. And I also have a funny story. I've got this very very small tableware case. It's like for painters and stuff. Turns out it's freaking awesome for Warmaster. I mean, it can hold like 15,000 Warmaster. So it hooks to the seal trace in that too. So, all right. Do you have any more hobby?
No, but I just want to say, I really enjoyed, Warmaster, the game on a basic level was good when you got all crazy. So it's great to see Kings of War going into that scale. I've got some of this stuff too. I've got my 1,000 points of, painted up and, it's very cool. I'm loving the fact that people are getting into it. So I'm looking forward to playing this, as a Friday night game at a con or a tournament sometime. And then, as well as mixing in the 28 mil. So it's very, very cool. I'm just really excited about it. So I'm glad I hung on to all that stuff over the years. It
we
paid
all
off.
Are, Mark. We all are. So let's take a quick commercial break. And on the other side, let's come back in. We've got a few announcements.
Share with you the Mantic podcast. No swearing allowed. Oh, real professional. The Fourth of Snake is a UK-based Kings of War podcast presented by John.
I want to be an individual.
Dan. Nick.
Can I go to the toilet, please?
And Matt. You can find us on Facebook at OFFS and on Twitter at O4FootSnake. And you can find us on iTunes. That's 32 points of damage.
And we're back.
Life check. Anything.
Boy, Rob, that felt good. A nice cleansing opening segment. So, and we didn't even get to announcements.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. And we'll try to do this at a little bit quicker pace, but iTunes, I've been poking around with the iTunes settings. Hopefully I've made it a little easier for potential listeners to find us on iTunes. Fingers crossed. That being said, we need more reviews, Mark.
Oh, we always need more reviews. So I feel a contest coming on, Rob.
Heartily agree. It's time for a contest. So it's real simple. Put in a review, good or bad, just be honest. Let us know that you put in the review. We'll put you in a drawing. But Mark, what are they going to win?
Well, I think they're going to win a limited edition Blue City Brawl swag set with the brass knuckle arc and the token set, which is very cool, Rob, because those are limited edition. I don't even know how many of those you got left.
Yeah, Mark, do you have one?
No, I don't. So look at that. You can have one up on Mark by winning this contest.
Maybe you'll have to enter.
I will have to. I think, I don't know. Did I put in an iTunes review? I will have to now. Maybe I thought that was kind of, you know, padding. But
I'll check. I may have a couple extras left, but whatever I've got, we'll put it up and we'll just randomly pick. Like we did last time, we'll randomly pick some of the listener reviews and we'll read some of the cool ones on the air. And
you know what, Rob? If I win, I'm going to give my set to a listener. So don't worry about that, folks.
Mark, you never win. So let's be honest.
That's true.
I'm sure everybody's aware by this point, Edge of the Abyss is now out and everybody's been playing. Have you had a chance to play yet, Mark?
I have not played a game of it yet. That's what Colin was working on the army list today. So, and when you read that book, and if you listen to our episode when we talked to Rob Berman about the book, you just, as you go through there, especially me, you want to do every army, which you can't do. But, you know, it's just such a cool book. And I'm really called by Jarvis and the undead. Just having good undead just really appeals to me. So I'm really, and, you know, ghouls get thunderous charge. So I might actually even think about, doing the undead. But we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, I've been playing an awful lot of Edge of the Abyss. Obviously, I mentioned the big thing at Evolution Games where I got like 3 games in. One was like a half learning game, and then the 2 real games I got smashed. Now, for that, I actually was playing Dwarves because that was what was 2 reasons. That was what was compact, right? Easy to pack. But 2, that was what was in my garage. We'll get to the gaming club in a minute, but all I have right now are my Dwarves here. Everything else is stored somewhere else. But I have been playing a lot of Ogres lately. Nagarok, and Gragamok's unit of Special Braves. Nagarok is like a negotiator, but he also happens to be sort of a warlock. And then obviously there's an upgraded unit of Braves. So I've been playing the heck out of those guys. The problem is I've never used Braves before, so I don't think I'm playing them right. So I'm still learning, but I love it. I think it's cool. It's narrative. It's fun. I know my buddy Devlin has used the new formation for the Empire of Dust, where they're like running up with gunpowder and just like detonating it because they don't know how to use it. So yeah, it's amazing, and I can't wait to hear more and more and more and more. So we actually have here in Memphis, we're actually going to be doing a campaign day for Edge of the Abyss on Saturday, August 26th. So we're excited. We're actually planning to do all the scenarios. We're going to have a table set up for each one, and then at the end we'll do like a big mega battle. We're all in, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, Rob, I am so jealous.
Just come to Memphis. That's all you gotta do.
You know what? If you could get cheaper flights to Memphis,
Memphis
move
is expensive.
To Dallas, move to LA. I can fly to LA cheaper than I can fly
Memphis
to Memphis.
Is expensive. It's a smaller regional airport, and shipping stuff by air, no problem. FedEx is here, it's cheap. But moving bodies, not as easy. Next up, I want to touch on Blue City Brawl 2018. The date is set. It's April 7th and 8th. We're still a doubles format, and I still think it's the greatest venue in gaming. I mean, it is amazing. Just keep in mind, we're going to try to up it a little bit, but we're still going to have a relatively small number or cap on the event. It probably will only be like 28 players. So I expect signups to go pretty quick. We will let everybody know when signups get open, and it'll probably be sometime in October, about 6 months before the event. That way, I want you guys to have the time to really take it to the next level. So this is a doubles event. You know, we want themed armies. We want background stories. You know, we want actors to read it out loud, like with that great gravitas. We want the whole, you know, we want painted armies that are themed to match, you know, with matching basing. I mean, We want the full Monty.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Exciting. So you pick the time during tax season.
For us, I explained, I think, on one of the previous episodes, we really moved to April for two reasons. One is it gets out of June, so our good buddies Charlie and Taylor can actually run an event, the Bowling Green Massacre, in June. And then also, April is actually a little bit better weather than June. June can start to get a little warm, and the Rat House is an older building, and so... there were times where it was a little warmer than we would have liked. So I think April, even though the potential for rain, I think it's just going to be a little bit better. That being said, I should also mention, any listeners out there that are going to be in the Memphis area, shoot me a DM. We'll meet up at the Rat House. We'll play some Kings of War. Obviously, huge thanks to the Banana Man. He has changed my life, Mark. Changed my life. Because previous Rob was like, okay, I have a table. I have a gaming room. Let me call around. Let me find somebody to come over. Or I had to call the guys in the club. We're going to meet at the gaming store. We'll get to the gaming store. We'll have to clean the gaming store because it was a pigsty. All changed, dude. Literally, I just say, you know what, Billy, let's play a game. Okay. What time are we going to meet? 10:30. You know what I do, Mark?
Jump in the car, head over, and your army's already at the clubhouse.
The army is on the table, and the terrain is set up. I don't even have to do anything. Guess what? What happens when the game's over, Mark?
You just leave your army on the table.
I just push it to the side. We have 8-foot tables. I just slide it over to one foot either on the left or the right to make room for somebody else. And then I walk out and I leave. It's
close
freaking...
door. Oh, I would love to have that. You guys are so lucky. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Gibney for that.
It was amazing.
You know, forget Warhammer World. You got to make the pilgrimage to the Rat House.
Yeah. So if any listeners are out there are going to be in the Memphis area, reach out to me. Let's schedule it. Even better if it's just a weekend where I can get the whole club there. I mean, right now we're pretty much minimum of two tables, but sometimes three or four tables going on any given Saturday. Saturday's kind of our big day. Occasionally we'll do Sundays, and every once in a while they'll do things at night. The problem is during the week, for me, it's about 25 minutes, which doesn't sound like a long time, but that's 25 minutes there and 25 minutes back. So I don't get out of work till 6 o'clock sometimes. So it's hard for me to, and plus I get up at 5 a.m. So it's hard for me to make that. But if you're out there and you want to come play, and you want to meet, you know, some of the Band of Brothers, you know, Devlin Smith, Billy Smith, I don't think they're related, Mr. Chris Bowen, Chris Gibney, you know, come on, we're ready. So next up, Mark, I wanted to mention, we did finally get some swag made up. Did you check it out?
Oh, yeah. Big shout out to Armada Games for helping us out on this. Absolutely awesome. Now, of course, you've got the samples. I have yet to order mine, but I have to. I've just got so much stuff to order right now. So
big thanks to Aaron. He sent me a set. The club and I have been playing with it. You know, they're awesome, dude. In particular, the newest one that they came out with, which was like a 1-inch wide ruler. So this thing is amazing. It's like, I don't know, 10 bucks, whatever. But here's the amazing part. It is an Arcosite template. It is an 8-inch ruler. Okay, fair enough. That's normal. It also marks the unit leader points on your units. By putting the Arcosite on the corner, it will show you where the unit leader point is. Super awesome. And then the last thing it does, which I think is maybe the coolest thing, it's 1-inch wide. So you literally are in combat. You can move your unit out of the way, put this thing down, and you know exactly how far you should be behind. Does that make sense? It moves you 1 inch away after combat.
Absolutely, yeah. No more, I bump back. Everybody swags that.
So it's amazing.
We are working on another top secret project, but I think everyone will enjoy. It's going to be very, very cool. I think that's all about I could say about it right now. What do you think?
I think we'll let it materialize a little bit, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, let it cool. Let's make sure it all comes together, so to speak. So
I mean, I'm excited about it, Mark.
Oh, I'm beyond excited about it. That's just not even a question. I mean, it's thrilling, actually. So we're very excited about it, and you know, more will be revealed as it literally comes together.
Yeah, you know, the funny part, if you would have said right now that we would be doing what we're working on, well, let's be honest, without the show, we don't do this. We can't do this.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't have the contacts without the show.
Absolutely. No, this, yeah, it's, yeah, I think we've said enough, Rob.
So also big shout out to Dicey Ventures. They sent us, both sets of their terrain that they have out. I did want to mention that they do have a third terrain pack coming out in the near future. We are feverishly playing with it at the clubhouse. We are getting an opinion on it. We love it, dude. I mean, I think it's the perfect thing to just throw in your bag. Hey, I'm going to the game store. What if they don't have trees? No problem. Here's a forest in your bag, right? It's not, I mean, I'm a terrain guy, right? I like 3D terrain. I'm going to play with 3D terrain. But in a pinch, This is not a bad compromise.
Oh yeah, at least you've got something down on the table, so that looks woodsy or housey or something like that, you know. So it's definitely portable. It's gotten spades.
You can also just put this on the table and use this to mark the area of the forest, and then put trees on it.
Oh, absolutely! Brilliant. That's the very first thing I thought of. So you know, it gives it some base. Now the buildings maybe not so much, but you know, hey, you might be able to do that too.
And while we're in the spirit of announcements, I want to thank Frontline Gaming, specifically Jason Butler. He's been a huge help. We are in the early stages of planning for 2018. And let me say, folks, if you thought 2017 Kings of War GT Circuit here in the U.S. Was amazing, wait till you see 2018. It's going to blow the doors off it. In fact, fresh news, Kings of War is going back to the LVO, Las Vegas Open. So registration is up, and that'll be hosted by Mr. Dan Miner out of Vancouver. So thanks to Dan for stepping up and getting that Kings of War on the schedule for LVO. And LVO is a premier event. It's like Adepticon or Nova. You got to have Kings of War there. So big thanks to Dan. While I'm on the spirit of giving, Mark, you ready for a big spoiler?
I'm always ready for a big spoiler. Go ahead. Break the news, Rob.
February 24th and 25th, 2018, U.S. Masters will be held in Chicago. Yay! TO'd by our very good friend, Grant Fetter.
There you go. The handsome man pulling out the bid, bringing the heat, blood in the sun. You're going to be at the old Blood in the Sun venue, right?
Correct. Correct. So we're really excited. Hey, and big thanks to Pacific Northwest. They had an awesome venue and awesome bid package as well. And I would not be surprised to see them win the bid in the future. So thanks to Ryan and Dan for working on that bid as well. And obviously Chris and Grant for working out the Chicago bid. So we're super excited. You heard it here first. Masters players, get your plane tickets. It's going to be in Chicago.
That's awesome. And flying to Chicago is cheap for me. So I'm going to have to check my schedule. That might just have to be on the schedule for a quick trip. So.
And hey, episode 200, it's right around the corner.
I know. Can you believe we've been on the air with Countercharge for over 2 years now, Rob?
It's unbelievable. I can't believe we got to 200. Now, to be fair, some of our episodes are like 30 minutes, right? So, but still, 200 is a big number. And we're planning a heck of a show. It's going to be a doozy. If you want to contribute, head over to our Facebook page or send us an audio submission and we'll add it to the show. What we're looking for is just send us your feedback and comments about the Kings of War scene, right? You know, how are you finding Kings of War? What's your local scene like? What are your favorite tournaments? What's your thoughts on competitive versus narrative play? What's your thoughts on the meta? What would you like to see improved? Give us some modeling and painting stuff. You know, whatever you want to share, share it with us. And you know, we're excited about that. So I don't know if you looked at the notes yet, but it may end up being one of those two-parters because it'll be actually too long and the file too big for us to release in one go.
That is correct. It will definitely be in two parts, Rob. So it'll be 200A and 200B.
Hey, Mark, someone's calling.
It looks like Jeremy. Why don't you go ahead and pick him up?
All right. Let's grab Mr. Jeremy Duvall.
Hey, it is Jeremy. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Boy, you must have ESP. Rob and I were just finishing up announcements, and we were just about to talk about the Countercharge Kings of War Army in a Weekend Spectacular number 5.
Number 5.
And this one is going to be hosted by one Jeremy Duvall. So first of all, a tip of the hat, and thank you, Jeremy, for taking on host duties. Rob is worn out, so...
And Mark's just lazy. Let's be honest.
Mark's just busy. Let's skip the lazy part. Actually, I'm very excited about this one. So I understand that, you know, the train's going to be rolling here on the hype and rubber bands are optional. So,
yes, they are. Enter at your own peril.
There you go. So, well, Jeremy, what do you have planned for everyone? What are we doing here for Countercharge Kings of War Army in a Weekend Spectacular Number 5?
Yeah, so it's coming up. It's going to be on August 18th through the 20th. So starting in on Friday and going through Sunday. And for those who haven't done an Army in a Weekend, it kind of came out of the goal to get together a hobby paint out group where you would try to paint 1,000 points in a weekend. So you'd start on a Friday, you'd go through Sunday. The original idea was to paint that 1,000 points and then also play a game. But I think the challenge of that was maybe a little Herculean quest. So it kind of evolved into these sort of every few months getting together for a weekend and seeing if, you know, how much of a sort of small starter army could you paint in one go round.
And of course, we're doing this one in support of the Mantic summer campaign for Kings of War.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Playing it in a weekend was actually done on the very first one. My son did it, which worked out very nice. So it has been done, but it is a Herculean task, like you said. Now, if you're painting 19 ogre models like Rob, it's a lot easier to do than if you're painting a horde army or something
that. At least I finished, Mark. At least I finished.
Hey, I did finish once. I did do my 10mm Empire of Dust army. I got my 1,000 points done, so it was very nice. I really enjoyed it. So, but we digress. Back to Jeremy.
Yeah, so then we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be starting on Friday. And once we're ready to go, I will be putting a call out onto the Countercharge Facebook group. And since we've had some interesting visitors in our local After Dark, what I'm going to do is, if you want to come for the army in the weekend, is go ahead and send me a direct message. And then I'll also, since for After Dark, people come and go. Some people will stay on for the whole weekend. Some people are on for certain amounts of time. So I'm going to encourage the sort of the regulars to After Dark, and which is our Friday kind of painting group that we're doing, and then also regulars for Army in the weekend, as they're posting stuff on their Facebook's posts, or if they're posting stuff on the Countercharge Facebook, just feel free to reach out to anyone who's doing it, and hopefully we can have a couple people going who are sort of passing out that link to whatever room we have going, so that we can make sure that all the people who arrive will have visuals that we're excited to view.
Family friendly.
That's exactly right. So take a look for that on Friday. It's probably going to be starting usually around 6 or 7 Pacific Standard Time. But if someone wants to start a room early, feel free. Just, you know, say you got the room going on the Countercharge Facebook page, and then I'll touch base with you, or whoever wants to join in can touch base with you. We'll get that link going around. And, you know, it will be a great opportunity to come in. If you want to come in for an hour, if you want to come in for the whole time, you know, it's really whatever you're inspired to do, you can do.
Google Hangouts, I think, cap at 10. So if we need more than one room, we'll do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Ryan Smith will tend to leave one of the rooms open all the time. So he'll tend to get on and just leave his link open, and then that way people can jump on it. And it's sometimes running 24 hours a day, actually, or the entire weekend. I wonder if Ryan will do a case of beer in a weekend again this time around.
Yeah, we got to see what he has cooked up for this this go around.
It's been a while since Dwayne has been on.
You know, Dwayne said he was going to come to After Dark last Friday. I had sent him the link, and I know he just relocated to Arizona, I think, within the last month or so, a couple months. So I know he said he was going through some, you know, all the logistics of stuff when you move. But it would be the rat master to have him. Hopefully he'll be showing up.
Now, here Lachlan's going to be joining us too from Cambodia. So,
yeah, So the was that one of the brothers that we've had from the Cambodian brothers?
That's right. That's our Cambodian brother. So,
okay, yeah,
Cambodian connection.
The Cambodian connection.
That's and right. Like, so, yeah, come paint with people literally from all around the world. So it'll be a great time. Army in the weekend is a lot of fun. A lot of it is because of the stuff that happens not painting. It's just all the family stuff that happens. You know, famous Jake Hutton with his girlfriend the one year. And
we need our DJ back. Shout out Joe, if you're listening, we need you, brother. We need you.
Mm-hmm. That's it, Joe, we don't care what you're painting. We need you to DJ on Saturday nights. I will put out a personal shout out to our DJ and see if we can get him back, because Joe always did a fantastic job hosting on DJ night. So,
yeah, you know, like you said, it's a great opportunity to have some motivation to get some hobby done, have a place, you know, to just come and hang out and talk about the game, talk about anything, you know, lots of different people from different podcasts, like you mentioned, Ryan from the Beer Phase and Jake from Unplugged Radio. You know, you have a lot of people from the Kings of War community who take part. So it's a cool opportunity to connect with all these people.
Oh, yeah. Our 4 Foot Snake brothers were on there last time. So
yeah.
That was fantastic. Just waking up in the morning, run downstairs, you know, get in like an hour of painting and, you know, chat with everyone from the UK. You know, it's just a it's just a fun weekend, you know, just to just be involved. It's kind of like always there. And it's kind of like Cheers for the weekend. Everybody knows your name. It's great. You just drop in and you never know what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think we have these goals to finish all this stuff, which I think is good, but I think at its heart, it's about fellowship and connection with each other as gamers. So I think that that's what I love about it is the hobby that we complete, but it's also the relationships that we build.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you're waiting for that drunk girlfriend story. So, yeah. You know, and the other great thing is if you're in Army for a weekend or even in After Dark, you can get the jokes that are out there on Twitter or Facebook, so because you'll understand. So
you experience it live, right?
It live. There's nothing like experiencing it live. That is for sure.
Like otter balls.
Yeah, otter balls, rubber bands, just so much. You know, the Ryan Smith drinking game. Whenever he hears a paintbrush and water, he's got to take another drink. You know, I think that there's lots of fun to. I think Cheers is a good sort of idea.
Absolutely. You see that picture out there on Twitter of Jake Hutton with a bucket? You'll know what that's all about if you were as part of the Army in a Weekend Spectacular. So, all right. Well, we're really looking forward to that. And then you can follow all the action if you are participating. Please go ahead and tweet and Facebook, you know, your progress. Put it out there. We've got at CCKOWAWS. That is for the After Dark group, but, you know, that's a good place to check everything out. You can do it at CounterCharge15 on Twitter. You can go to the CounterCharge Facebook page and things like that. Now, if you are painting a Mantic army, and you have to be using Mantic models, okay, and you finish your army, I want you to email it over to Rob Berman, okay? So robert.berman@manticgames.com when that's complete. And then Rob is talking. If he gets enough submissions and things like that, he's going to put a nice blog post together. And, yes, your army could be featured so in that blog post. So we're excited about that. Big thanks to Rob Berman on that standpoint. But I think we're going to see some great Mantic armies and everybody gearing up for the summer campaign. And that's the exciting part, because after you paint your army, literally the summer campaign starts the next day on August 21st. So that's the
exciting.
Oh, very, very exciting.
I'm giddy.
So, you'll be able to talk all about it all weekend, get your army ready, and then bang, out of the gate. So it's going to be absolutely awesome. I'm definitely ready for that. So, all right, Jeremy, anything else we need to know?
Yeah, so I thought I would go over the in After Dark. For those not familiar with After Dark, we have a participation program that's called the After Dark Platinum Prestige Paint Points System. And essentially, for every After Dark you attend, you get a point. So everyone's points are going to be used at Friday night, the first night of the Army in a Weekend. And for each point that you have, you're going to get one entry into a raffle. And since that's Friday and it's part of Army in a Weekend, though it's still an After Dark, is everyone who does Army in a Weekend on that Friday will go ahead and get one entry into the raffle. So even if you've never been to an After Dark yet, you'll still have a chance to have one entry into the raffle. All those names and points will get put into a pool. And at 10 o'clock Eastern, so 7 o'clock Pacific, I'm going to go ahead and draw two winners. And I have some really great prizes. The grand prize will be able to pick two out of three prizes, and then the runner-up will get the unpicked prize. And since you never know what happens at After Dark and what could happen in Army in a Weekend Challenge, I'm not going to tell you the prizes, but we have two Mantic Regiment box sets and a hobby prize. So the winner will be able to pick two of the three, and then the runner-up will be able to pick the leftover prize. But you have to be there to claim your award.
All right, so that's 10 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Pacific.
Yes, so it's going to be kind of the thing we're going to do as people are logging in. I'll give people a chance to kind of, once the links have kind of gone out and we're ready to go, get some people a chance to get on, and then it will be kind of our fun, exciting thing to get the momentum going for the weekend.
All right, that sounds good. And then at the end of the weekend, you definitely send those pictures all over the place, and particularly to robert.berman@manticgames.com. And definitely, that would be fantastic. So we might have to think of something, Rob, to do for Sunday night. So we usually do a special episode to wrap things up on Sunday night. So we're going to have to come up with something, I think, Robbo.
So do you guys know what you're going to be working on? Do you have any ideas, plans, what you think you're going to be wanting to do?
Well, my hobby ADHD is in full rev, so I should do my Forces of Nature, get them finished, and paint some more. But then again, I really want to do that Good Undead Army. So if my package from Wartime Hobbies, shout out to Todd and Cindy, shows up on time, I might tackle that. But I have a lot of assembly to do real quick. So, and boy, you know what? I'm with Rob. I want to see how these Braves work in the Ogre Army. So I have not painted up my Warlock, nor have I painted up my Braves. So that would be another opportunity. So I'm still picking, but I should really do the Forces of Nature. So I did get a nice suggestion for painting the gemstones inside of the Elementals, and that is to paint them like Warpstone for the Skaven and the Warhammer armies. It's like, so that's got me intrigued. So that might happen. So I'm still working on it. You will see. Come to Army the weekend and see. How about you, Rob?
I'm going to add to the Ogres. I have been playing a lot of Namagarok and the Gagagarok Brave unit. So I've never really played with Braves before. And so up until this point, so I've been proxying like hunters and stuff in there, so I'm gonna get them painted up. So I think I'm gonna try to shoot to get to finish up my Warlock, finish up maybe one or two units of Braves, and then I've got some Red Goblins that on foot that I'd like to get a unit painted of those too. So all depends on how much I get built this next week in preparation for Friday night, but that's the plan, is to add another 500 points or so to the Orga army. In fact, the first one, I remember I did 1,000 points. I got that all done. And then subsequently, it's just become a thing where I just add to the Ogres. And so why stop a good thing?
How about you, Jeremy? Do you have something picked out? Are you going to keep adding to the undead? Or
wait.
Something
is it
new?
Are you doing metal zombie trolls by any chance?
No. That, I enjoyed, air quotes, enjoyed my assembly process on those metal zombies. And now they've been lovingly put aside, for to be completed at a future date after my PTSD of putting them together has passed. So
you haven't put together the centaurs, have you?
No, but the metals, I mean, I love, they look great when they're fully assembled. It's just those big chunky metal models are just such a pain.
I did some Morlocks, and they were tough.
And then when you're painting them, they don't, usually I'll with blue tack or we'll attach models I'm working on to wine corks, so I can move them around and work it on it. And those big metal models, there's no good way to hold them when you're painting them. It's just every stage of the process that you interact with them is frustrating. But what I do want to do is I got some stuff to finish for my undead. We have a group of us from Northern California going to Alamo this year. And for Alamo, a couple of the scenarios require an extra 500 points. So it's 2,000 for a few games and then 2,500. So I have a bunch of the Mantic Ghouls, which I love, because I need to add some chaff into my list. So that's what I'm going to be working on, is trying to get that list, all that stuff finished and ready. So come time for Alamo, I'm not stressed. I'm all done. So that's kind of my goal, is to try to get a few units of ghouls finished by the end of the weekend.
See, ghouls. That's it. And they have a formation with Jarvis, you know, for Jarvis there, too. So, you know, that don't dismiss that thunderous one. So, you know, that's going to be very interesting. So that's what I was thinking of, knocking out the ghouls, put that formation together, because I have a ton of ghouls in the house. I mean, a ton of ghouls in the house. So that would be really neat. And like I said, if that Jarvis model shows up, that just might be my pull. But again, I've got a ton of assembly to do. I don't know if I'll be able to do it or not, but fingers crossed, we'll see. You know, like I said, mine will be a surprise when we drop the flag. So,
cool.
All right. Well, Jeremy, thanks for popping in and saying hi.
Sure thing. Thanks, guys. I hope everyone comes out. I hope everyone has a great time. I'd love to see maybe we catch some new people who are interested and coming to do After Dark.
Keep building the community.
Yeah, keep, you know, we have a really nice, you know, shout out to Kevin, Felix, Ryan. You know, we have a good group of regular, I mean, for After Dark, we have 4 or 5 people every week. So we had the illustrious Jeff Swan was on last weekend, Strategerizing. So
Jeff just talked continuously. I logged on to After Dark. I think I said, Jeremy, you'll back me up on this, maybe 7 to 8 words.
You know what we need to do? We need to have Chris Cox join us. I need to reach out.
Oh, yeah.
I need to have Chris Cox join us.
We'll just put him in his own separate room.
Yeah, between Jeff and Felix and Kevin, it's like, you know, you just can't get a word in. So you just got to ride the train. You know, you just buckle yourself in, and then, you know, peace be the journey.
There, you want inside the List Builder studio? Join us on After Dark.
It really has. I mean, After Dark is a great thing for painting, but what it has kind of evolved into is sort of the live sessions of List Builder Studio, where it's a lot of really good. If you like List Builder Studio and you like that sort of content, then After Dark is like a good sort of evolution of that, where we get a lot of the kind of themes that we talk about in List Builder Studio. People are talking about that in After Dark as well.
Oh yeah, it is definitely like being at the local hobby shop. That is that's the feel it's evolved into. It's just like running down to the local hobby shop or going to your buddy's house and painting and just shooting the crap all night. You know, I mean, that is exactly what it's become.
Okay, well, when we're back on the other side, they'll be talking about Necromancer's Cloak, Rubber Bands, and Underwater Train.
Howdy, this is Mark Cox.
And this is Jeff Swan.
And this is Ryan Smith, and we are the Beer Phase Podcast.
We're 3 TOs from Texas, and we talk about the most important phase in Kings of War, as well as other games we play, the Beer Phase.
Hang out with us and get our thoughts on hobby, the best beer available, any gaming tactics and current events in the gaming community, as well as guest interviews from people from all over the world that have the same hobbies we do.
So grab a beer and have a laugh with us as we BS about all things wargaming. Check us out on Twitter, at The Beer Phase, and thebeerphase.podbean.com, or on iTunes, The Beer Phase, one word.
Welcome back. Well, our main topic tonight, prize support. Both the good and the bad about prize support. I know, Rob, both of us have a lot of opinions on this subject, so, you know, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
So I guess the place to start is, you know, why are we talking about this? Well, we have been feverishly preparing for our 200th episode. You know, specifically, it's going to be the state of the game. We've mentioned it before. Well, it's actually happening. In fact, we may, if we time permitting, we're also going to wrap into that discussion between the gamer, you know, the narrative garage gamer versus the competitive tournament gamer that we also alluded to. In preparation for that 200th episode, and for things that have been going on locally and in my region the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, it's got me thinking about prize support. And I haven't heard a discussion about prize support. And Mark, you have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of ideas. In fact, I have a lot of ideas because I've been running quite a few events. And, well, to be frank, it pisses me off. I don't think we're doing a good enough job. And so, I mean, two big things I hope come out of this tonight. 3 things. Hope you think about this a little bit more. because it needs to be thought about. And I think I want TOs to spend a little bit more time and effort on this. And I want players to think about why are they coming to the game and make sure they're coming for the right reasons. So in that context, let's have this discussion.
We're going to talk about the current trends in prize support. And as Rob mentioned, he's going to be having some opinions here. But with the explosion of the Kings of War tournaments that are going on and even events just in the local stores and stuff like that, this has become a topic. Yeah. You know, you know, what's the impact on sponsors? You know, I've always seen emails or threads going around, you know, hey, can you help me get to these requests? And, you know, hey, can you hook me up with this guy? And, you know, hey, and that's really cool. But sometimes the sponsors just get too many requests and it's really hard for them to figure out, you know, which tournaments are good for them to back and which not. Because, I mean, you want to support all of them, but just realistically, you can't. You've really got to kind of pick and choose a little bit.
So, Mark, you know, you talk about sponsors, and with this podcast and with me running all these different events or helping with events, I come at it from a different perspective. I talk to these sponsors every single day. I talk to different companies out there every single day. I was talking to Kawi from Westphalia Miniatures and Dave Martin from Dicey Ventures. So I have personal relationships with these folks, right? And not just these two, but probably in the neighborhood of 40 or 50 of these guys. And so we have this relationship and we talk. And you, as you mentioned, you know, there's so many tournaments now. It's exploded. They are getting an inordinate amount of requests, right? And it's hard for them to cut through the noise. You know, what's legitimate tournament and frankly, what is a prize grab, right, Mark?
And they can tell. They can tell if you're just going for a prize grab. I mean, they can figure it out.
Yeah, they can totally tell when you're just, you know, sending out a form letter or just some spam email to just try to fish for some free crap to give out at your tournament. We're going to get to what some things TOs can do to do a better job. But yeah, sponsors are not stupid. They, you know, and let's be honest, it's a business, right? Just like any business decision, you know, you need to talk about, you know, what is the return on investment? And sometimes it's maybe hard to define that, but the reality is that they can certainly measure the impact of that event, right? If they give you a coupon code, well, what did they sell from that? If they gave you prize support, how many people reached out to thank them? Do they see any kind of increased traffic on their website? You know, there are ways for them to determine, was that a good investment on their part? And let's be honest, that's what matters, right? They're not giving it to you because they're just nice guys.
That's right. Yeah. And if you don't get prize support from a particular sponsor, don't get mad at them. They literally have to make this business decision, because if they supported everybody, they'd go out of business.
In this conversation, I'm going to use some specific examples, but you know, there's been some big companies out there that, you know, my last time going through, they weren't able to support me. You know what? That is okay, right? I don't expect, not everybody can help everybody, right?
You know, basically, you don't have a right to prize.
So that's kind of from the sponsor's perspective. You know, they're looking for investments, right? Let's talk about TOs. From the TO side, it's important that you establish a relationship with these sponsors or potential sponsors. You have to define it as a win-win. Now, background on me, I'm a business person, right? I work for a medical device company. One of my jobs over the years has been dealing sort of in a purchasing engineering function where I deal with vendors. It takes a long time for a vendor to woo me to the point where I buy stuff from them. Same thing here. You have to have patience. You have to make the call, make the contact, develop a relationship well in advance. Don't just go in there and say, hey, look, I'm Joe Blow. I'm running this event. Will you give me stuff? That could work. It usually won't.
I've had business experience with that too. You know, you got to build relationships. You know, it's like you can do a lot of banking online, okay? But banking is a people business, okay? I mean, when I'm at work and I'm doing these $1 million deals and stuff like that, or multi-$1 million deals, whatever the case may be, you know, I mean, a lot of those are just based on relationships, you know? And I got to kiss a lot of frogs before I find a business partner that's going to work with me. And that directly relates into prize support. Like the board game room that Cavs runs over at Origins, at one time, I was the guy who used to dig up the prize support for that. So I would be on the phone with everybody, and that's how I got to know a lot of people. And I got turned down a lot, I mean, by a lot of companies. But after a while, as the board game room grew at Origins with the Ribbon, I mean, it got so out of control. It's got its own area on the main game floor now. But when it first started out, you know, people were, you know, kind of skeptical. But, you know, now Rio Grande Games sends literally pallets full of free games to give away to people, you know, because they saw the business relationship there. And unfortunately, that's what it's about a little bit. You know, these people are in business to make money. You need to have that relationship with them. And as you mentioned before, Rob, they need to see some kind of economic benefit or some kind of benefit somewhere along the line so that they're going to want to do it again for you.
Absolutely. And so the TO has to say, look, guys, this is the win-win. This is, you know, you're doing us a favor by providing us with whatever it is they're providing, you know, whether it's a mat, piece of terrain, whatever. This is what we're providing you. Like, for example, me personally, we bring a lot of sponsors on the show. Not to get free stuff for myself, but to develop that relationship, give them an opportunity or a voice to get to a wider audience. I mean, let's be honest. This is a niche community in a niche hobby, right? I mean, we're a blip on the radar when you think of terms of Kings of War.
As I always like to say, the flea on the gnat's ass. So, I mean, that's basically what it is. So we're a very, very small niche, a very, very small niche. But, and we love our niche. It's fantastic.
The TO needs to think, how can you help the sponsor and how can you communicate that? And there's a bunch of ways to do it. But my first recommendation is do some research. Cater your message. Communication is the most important thing, right? Well, if you don't spend any effort on it, you know what it comes off as? Garbage, right? They're just going to go, they're just going to throw it in the trash. That's, find a way to break the ice. Do you use their product? Well, then tell them that. What you think about it? Did you back their Kickstarter? You got to find a way to get in. And once you're there, you really got to make sure they understand that you know about them and what they make and what, you know, do your homework. Cater your message to the audience.
Right. Well, and part of that is the players that are coming to your particular event. You know, I mean, you know your player base pretty well, at least you should as a TO. So, you know, what kind of products or something do you think that they're going to buy, purchase, or appreciate getting from a sponsor, and how are you going to develop that? You know, there's some kind of matching principle there, you know, so that you can get the most bang for the buck for the sponsor.
Some anecdotal evidence, which is, you know, when I ran the Masters, that was a bigger deal. We had a lot more players, 64 players coming. It was easier to get people to sign on because, you know, the notoriety, the pageantry of the event, right? We have the best players in the United States coming. And so from that end, I kind of just let the gates open and take whatever I could get, right? Now, compare that to the Blue City Brawl. That is a 24-player doubles event. It's kind of intimate. Well, you know what I did for prize support for that? Hardly anything. I just called a few favors in, but I wasn't, you know, it was a completely different atmosphere. So you said, you know, consider your players. Well, also consider your event. Scale the level of prize support appropriately.
Right. Well, you know, sponsors have limited resources. So try not to waste those limited resources on, you know, like as Rob said, you run multiple events, pick and choose which sponsors you're going to have and talk to your sponsors and say, hey, I'm running these three or four events. Which ones do you think you'd be interested in sponsoring, or which ones, you know, would bring the most benefit to both of us? You want to go for that win-win situation.
So next up, let's talk a little bit about, you know, prize support's influence on the hobby and our community. And specifically, I'm talking about Kings of War. You know, so over the years, we have seen instances where prize support can have a very, very negative impact on the scene. The obvious example is the whole top table altercation at Adepticon a few years ago, if you remember that, Mark.
I hate it when the winner of the tournament gets all the prizes. Just saying.
Well, and that's part of the problem. You know, big rewards, big problems.
Absolutely. Nothing causes, as soon as you inject money into a situation, it ruins it. Period. End of story.
When we're talking about this, really, you know, we just need to make sure we're all doing our part to reduce some of the the potential negativity. And to be honest with you, I think personally, I have done an okay job with some of the prize support. There's always room for improvement.
All right, Rob, since we covered that, why don't we move into using prize support successfully? You know, the focus of a tournament should be on the tournament experience rather than prizes for performance. You know, it's prize support. It's not prize reward. Prize support is there to add extra fun to the tournament experience and not just hand out models and gifts to the winners who've already won all the trophies.
That's a great point. Remember, winning is its own reward. You know, it's notoriety. Give them a cool trophy. My two best sports shields from Wapaka. I have a Khorne shield and I have a Goblin shield, and they hang proudly on the wall in my game room, and those are the most amazing things I ever received. So really make sure to remember that winning is its own reward.
And yes, Rob, you know, I mean, those trophies are so awesome. I don't know what else to tell you. So they are very cool. And you know what? I bet you don't remember any of the models that you got from Wapaka, but never. You remember never. Those shields.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know what, Rob? Never forget the players in the middle or the bottom. Without them showing up, you really don't have an event. Not everyone is trying to win a tournament. Remember that. They're there to have a good time playing the game and be part of the community. You know, like I feel, you know, we started the Countercharger Award. I think the Countercharger Award should be given out at every tournament, not just the ones that we send certificates and prizes to. You know, reward that player in the middle of the pack. You know, and at the bottom of the pack too, but you know, and there's different ways to distribute the prize support. Okay.
Absolutely.
A whole bunch of different ways. The way I hate the most, and I said it already, the guy at the top wins everything. Nothing will start fights faster than that. And that's where you get all the tension on the top table because you've injected money into the situation. Not cool.
Let's talk about a few ways that I prefer to give out prizes. Well, first one is the way that I almost always use, and that's simply to raffle off the prize support. So with the intention that everybody gets something, right? That is the way I did the Masters, NashCon, Blue Sea. I mean, that's the way I typically do it. I put everybody's name in a hat or on a computer and I draw names and I just draw everybody's name once. And then if we get to the end of the list, we'll flip to the top and go over. But the whole point is everybody should walk away with something. The second way is also great. You can have players buy tickets for a raffle of some sort, which is then donated to charity. And obviously the one that comes to mind is obviously what Chris did with Lady of the Lake. They do a fantastic job for their charities up there. But I'm going to let you take the next one because I know this is your favorite method.
Oh, yeah. I love the Todd Perkins method, as we'll call it, the reverse prize support. And you hand out prize support in reverse order of finish. So last place picks best. And this one is my favorite. And the reason is because prize support is a way to say thank you to the players attending the event. Attending an event is expensive, and getting a little something for your time, effort, and expense to let Jeff Swan win yet another tournament lets all the players walk away with a more positive experience, okay? That being said, that prize support doesn't have to be over-the-top expensive.
It's also important that you hold a few prizes for some special awards. Two come to mind. You already mentioned the Countercharger. You know, the wooden spoon has always been a thing. The champion's always been a thing. But one of the things we strive for at Countercharge is to be mediocre. And so let's celebrate mediocrity. Because let's be honest, anybody look at a bell curve? There's most of us, more of us in the middle than at the ends, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? It gives, and when you go to those tournaments, people are actually moving around the middle for that Countercharger award.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's important to recognize everyone along the bell curve, not just the top and the bottom. Like you said, most everyone's in the middle, and that gives everybody something to go for, you know?
And if you are going to do last place, which I recommend you do, two things. Do it in the right spirit. Don't do it mean-spirited, right? It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, in some sense, it can be rewarding. So the take that I usually do is I'm not trying to make fun of a person because they came in last. In fact, I'm going to celebrate it. And in fact, I'm probably going to bestow on them more than their fair share. I go back to an example that we used at NashCon 2016, which I honestly think this might be the coolest prize I've ever had the fortune to give out. Mark, do you remember that story?
Of course, Rob. That's when we handed out a Dead Zone book with a note inscribed on the first page to the player, from Ronnie Renton himself. Ronnie signed it and sent us the book for the Wooden Spoon.
Yeah, it said something along the lines of, well, I guess Kings of War is not your game. Why don't you try Dead Zone? And cheeky, as Ronnie always is, while the book doesn't have a huge monetary value, I can guarantee you that, I believe it was Chris Clark that won it, he still has that book, I bet, and I bet you he cherishes it. Even though he finished last, I bet you that's one of those type of awards that he'll never forget and he'll never get rid of.
Absolutely. And again, you know, for last place, you know, if you have too big of a prize, people start throwing their games to be in last place. You know, that's one of the reasons I really like the Counter Charger, because it's kind of hard to do that because you don't know where you're at in the middle. So.
Well, one more thing I wanted to mention before we start talking about what you should use for prizes. You know, where possible, my preference is to have players pick their prize. It's a couple things. One is, let's say there's a table, right, and there's different prizes available. That allows people to pick prizes that they actually will use, which is important. But also what it allows you to do is you can group prizes together by however you want to do it, small to large, cheap to expensive. And what it allows me to do is to build up to those big grand prizes, right? So like at Masters, we had small, medium, large, and then we had a few gigantic things. And so you started winning, you know, little stuff, and then you build some, and you want some stuff that's a little bit cooler, and then by the end, you're just like, wow, that's cool. Now that we talked about how to give out prizes, let's talk about what kind of prizes to give out. And my motto here is mementos, not models.
Of course, Rob. I mean, you can buy models at your local hobby shop, and it is cool to get models. I'm not dissing models at all, but you know that the t-shirts, tokens, dice, templates, pins, badges, patches, even a special miniature, it all adds up to the experience that, hey, I was at Lone Wolf 2017 and I got my Lone Wolf dice and that's it. They're in this color and I can say that I was at that tournament. And there's a little bit of pride involved with that. And that's kind of a special prize in and of itself. You know what I mean? Having those unique, specific awards that can only be acquired by attending. You know, and not only that, if it's not unique, at least make it useful. You know, focus on stuff the players can actually use, like your brass knuckle Ark of Sight template or something, you know, tokens or something like that, you know. But try to limit giving away items the players can be buying locally. Always remember, there's a local hobby shop that you don't want to be taking business away from.
We always like to say, pay where you play.
And always remember the local gaming store, okay? You don't want to clip from them. And if you don't have a local gaming store, of course, dial up Todd and Cindy at Wartime Hobbies, but that goes without saying. And, you know, the next topic is limit the amount of models you're going to be giving out. You know, players typically end up with stuff they can't use. And so they're either going to go to waste, they're going to end up on eBay. And typically the winners don't need the models. Normally the players at the bottom are the ones that really need the models to build a competitive force or something like that. You know, and that's where picking from the table really comes into play. You know, you can go up and you pick something that you're actually going to use. That's why I really like the table pick method, either by raffle or from last to first. So the other thing is, too, the long-term effect can be cannibalizing sales. You know, I mean, that could be very possible.
Yeah, you got to keep the local gaming store in mind. You know, if you're giving away, you know, if you're doing a local event and they're giving away, you know, box sets and armies and stuff, well, that's probably stuff that it would have been nice for the local gaming store to be able to sell.
Absolutely. And sometimes your local gaming store will give you models to give away to get people interested in the product line. However, they're probably already interested in the product line if they're playing Kings of War in the store. But, you know, hey, and I'm not dissing models. I love getting models. I got models from Lone Wolf. This way they did it at Lone Wolf, and I hear they do this at Waupaca, and this is the first time I ever saw it before, but everybody brought a model, a blister, a box, something, and everybody donated it, threw it on a table, and then they did a raffle, and then you went up and picked up something. So you came home with something different than what you brought with you, hopefully. So,
yeah, it's almost like trading. It's almost like trading.
Yeah, it's almost like trading. So, you know what? I mean, some people brought some really fantastic stuff, and they just wanted to get rid of it. You know, some people just bought a blister. I mean, you know, you never know.
I bet most of the people brought stuff that they won at other events that they didn't need.
That's very possible. So, no, it was awesome. I really enjoyed that. So, I'd like to see that happen more often. I thought that that was kind of cool. Everybody's got a blister or something banging around their base, you know, that you can't get rid of. So, and, you know, hey, if all else fails, you know, you can get a character blister for a Mantic for $12.99, you know.
So if you have your heart set on giving out models, you know, focus on a different range, stuff that players in your area or at your event haven't seen. That's a perfect way to give back to a smaller company, help them get their name out there. I mean, that's why we've got stuff from Atlantis Miniatures, Westphalia Miniatures, right? That's why. Everybody's seen Mantic game stuff, but maybe we can spotlight something else. Mom Miniatures.
Right. And Mantic has holes in their range that are being filled by these other companies. So, you know, if you want to build an army based on, you know, League of Rorty is a great one for Westphalia Miniatures. You know, they've got the half men. I mean, that's perfect. I mean, we don't have Mantic half men. So, you know, those models have to come from somewhere to build those armies until Mantic goes ahead and, you know, get that up and running. And they may never get that particular army up and running. So, you know, you need somebody to fill out those ranges. And that's a great way to highlight those, you know, models to the players.
So, Mark, let's wrap up this discussion on prize support with a couple final thoughts. From me, it's quite simple. If you're playing this game for prizes, you're not doing it right.
I totally agree. And my final thought is, I love prize support, but it's not a competitive blood sport. Prize support's there to say thank you to your players for coming to your event and to make it more fun, but it's not strictly required for all events. You know, remember that. So, you know, tailor it to your event.
And you know what? I would recommend players communicate your thoughts to the TOs. Make sure that TOs know that you don't have to have $6,000 of free swag. No, you don't need that. We're here to play the game. That's why we're here. Prize support's just, you know what? It's, think of Kings of War as cake. And prize support can just be some little sugar, you know, some little sprinkles on top.
Absolutely. It's all about the community and playing the game. So, and don't get me wrong, I love prize support. I love it. Okay. But again, you know, I certainly do not like it all going to the top with money ruining the whole experience. It's just, it's better if it gets spread around and you have a good time. So, but. Well, Rob, I hope everybody got something out of that. So, why don't we go ahead and slide into a commercial break, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll do shout-outs and feedback.
Jake and Greg, as they cover the world's most exciting fantasy miniature game, Kings of War, on the world. Most exciting fantasy miniatures podcast, Unplugged Radio. Talk background, miniatures, tactics, and more. That's Unplugged Radio. Find us on iTunes or on our website, unpluggedradio.com. Just replace the G's with 3 years. And keep countercharging.
Welcome back to Countercharge. And before wrapping up the show, we have a few more shout-outs. Mark, you want to take them?
Yeah, we've taken down our rolling tournament list from the show notes. Did you guys miss them? If so, let us know. So, and maybe we'll put them back up there. But I did want to give a shout-out to a couple of tournaments that we are actually sending Countercharger awards to. Crucible 6.5 is going to be running October 6th through 8th, 2017, at the Park Inn in Orlando, Florida. They are moving the convention to get it away from Adepticon just for you. So you can get more information on their website, CrucibleOrlando.com.
And I just want to jump in, you know, huge shout out to Cody. He runs a great, great event. It's a lot of fun. And Tom Keegan and company run a great convention. I mean, it's a really, really great thing. And so if you're in the area, I highly recommend. I did actually attend Crucible 6 earlier this year and had a great time.
Super cool.
And actually, flights to Orlando are very affordable. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So let's see. Our next tournament is going to be Refugees of the Old World. Our friend Ben Stoddard is running a tournament October 20th through the 21st, 2017, in fabulous Rexburg, Idaho. You can contact Ben at refugeesoftheoldworld@gmail.com or visit the website for more information, which, of course, is refugeesoftheoldworld.com. So hopefully if you're in that area, you can go ahead and check that out. Again, we'll be sending a countercharger award over there to Ben. So, and I wanted to mention next that, yes, Vanguard playtesting has begun. You will start seeing pictures popping up on Twitter and Facebook of some of the games in progress. I can't say anything about it yet, but it is going to be awesome. Rob, you got anything else to share?
I'm tired. No. I got to get back to painting 10mm models.
There you go. Well, with that, why don't we go ahead and wrap up the episode. You know, we thank everybody for joining us. It's been a great time. Rob, it's great to do an old-fashioned episode.
Well, we're old, so we might have to do old-fashioned.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to do more of these. You know, we'll try to get these out a little more regularly now, and we'll kind of go from there. And, of course, we'll be sprinkling in those List Builder Studios.
We got an awesome one with Aaron Chapman coming up for you guys. You're going to like it.
All right. Well, we can't wait to listen to the Aaron Chapman episode, so keep an eye out for that. And we record a lot of the stuff. We tend not to hold it. You know, if we record episodes, we pop them out there for your listening pleasure. So we're sorry we haven't been around the past couple weeks. Between vacations and graduation parties, it's been kind of tough, but we are back. So it was nice to take a little break, but it's time for the Kings of War summer campaign. And I am ready to go. And hopefully we'll see you for Countercharge Kings of War Army in a Weekend Spectacular number 5, August 18th through the 20th. So any other final words, Rob?
No, I think that's going to do us tonight. And until next time, keep countercharging.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.
Billy is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Billy's painted up some dwarves and I wanna make them mine. And he's flanking with those rocks. And he's holding them with those iron god, I just know it. And his stone priest is surging late in game. You know, I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. Where can I find an army like that? I play along with this crap army, but I'm looking for a good reason to change. You know, it feels so dirty when organ guns shoot. Then I realize that it's winning, so the feeling's probably moot. Cause he's flanking with those brocks. And he's holding them with those iron god, I just know it. And his stone priest is surging late in game. You know, I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. Where can I find an army like that, like Billy's dwarves? I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. Where can I find an army? Where can I find an army like that? And I'm looking in the mirror all the time, wondering why orcs don't work for me. I've been smart, I've been cool with the dice. Ain't that the way gaming's supposed to be? Tell me, why can't I find an army like that? You know, I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. I I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. I want Billy's dwarves. Where can I find an army like that, like Billy's dwarves? I wish that I had Billy's dwarves. I want Billy's dwarves.
Naked monkeys.